This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hi, it's Pamela Wilson, and you're listening to Hit Publish, where I cover simple ways to get better results with your online business. Today's episode might transform the content that you create online. Really. Here's the thing. We are visual creatures living in a verbal world. And by that, I mean that our brains are wired to process information and images at a speed that far outpaces our verbal processing speed. Yet, at the same time, we are reading all day long. We're processing words. And over in this other section of our brains, we have this high-speed image processing engine that's just kind of sitting there idling. And all your website visitors have that same high-speed image processing engine in their brains. Did you know that it only takes 13 milliseconds for us to read and understand an image? It may actually be less time, but 13 milliseconds was the smallest amount of time that the scientist who performed this experiment could measure. I want to read you a quote from David Williams, the director of the Center for Visual Science at the University of Rochester. David says, "More than 50% of the cortex, the surface of the brain, is devoted to processing visual information. Understanding how vision works may be the key to understanding how the brain as a whole works." That's a lot of firepower behind understanding visuals. And you know, pairing strong visuals with your verbal content will help you to boost how quickly your messages get across. In today's episode, you're going to hear why images kind of put the brakes on your readers and why that's actually a good thing. You'll also discover which off-the-beaten-path visual content creation tools you should start exploring and using today. And I'll share tips that you can keep in mind if you want to create images for your content, but you don't have any design or art training. I want to thank you for downloading this podcast, and I want to thank Rainmaker FM for hosting it. Are you ready to create beautiful images to go with your content? Let's hit publish. Hit Publish is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform, which handles all the technical elements of good online business practices, including design, content, traffic, and conversion. To check it out, head over to rainmaker.fm/platform right now and get started building your online business. We're going to hear from Damian Farnworth first. Damian has been a writer for many, many years and is one of those writers who's just into images. He really enjoys carefully pairing well-chosen images with his words, kind of like a well-chosen glass of wine that makes your food taste even better. I guess that kind of makes him an image connoisseur. Anyway, I wanted to hear directly from Damian why he thinks visual content is important.
The web is a visual media, and for those of us who love to read, again, you can't resist how pretty, you know, huge images look, videos, sort of the HD quality videos look. So online, even if you are, whether it's a podcaster or a blogger in the old sort of traditional sense of writing, visual content is important for two reasons, from the reader's side and from your side. Like from the reader's side, it's the way to sort of grab somebody's attention. I learned this sort of trick from Robert Scoble a long time ago. He was telling Tim Ferriss how he sort of whizzes through 1,000 blog posts a day, like in his morning, like within 20 minutes, something like that, to sort of get an idea, feel for what's out there, what's interesting, what can he share on his Twitter account. And basically what he did was sit in his RSS feed and just kind of scroll through there fast. And one of the things that got him to stop was always a great image. And so ever since that point, that was like, I think in 2006, 2007, that stuck with me. And I was like, okay, I'm always using that because it's true. Images grab people's attention. On the other side, from the creator side, I like using images because it's another way in which you can kind of express who you are and your personality. And I've always get really great compliments on the photos that I use. And I do spend a considerable amount of time, on my personal site, the CopyBot, because I choose them based upon my personality and what I would think. And so you sort of, people who appreciate that kind of artistic sort of expression, sort of to gravitate around you for that sense and that sense alone, but also, for your copy too. So from those two sort of avenues, grabbing somebody's attention and then also another vehicle in which to express yourself, that's why visual content is really important on the web.
I love it. So our goal should be, let's get Robert Scoble to put the brakes on.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it.
It's up for our blog and read it. And yes, Anyone else, honestly, because a great visual will do that. It kind of puts the brakes on and forces people to take a look and then hopefully draws them right down into your copy.
Yeah. And I have to emphasize too, is that, it's okay, because sometimes it'd be like a half hour, an hour, pushing an hour looking for the right image, and of course, part of that is because you're looking for the right image that you can actually use without getting in trouble. But it's worth the time because eventually, all the pieces come together and it's something that's just, sort of reinforces what you're talking about in your blog post, but also it stands out and it's striking and that's a good find. So spending anywhere between a half hour and an hour on a image is okay in my book. What do you think? Is that okay?
I think that's okay. I don't usually take that long. I don't know why that is. I don't know. Uh-huh. I've been looking at images. Mm-hmm. I've had a career as a designer and an art director for decades at this point. So it doesn't usually take me that long. And I think part of it is becoming familiar with these different stock photo sites and the different places where you can find images, because you just have a better chance of hitting the correct site for the kind of image you want, right? So that's part of it, is just starting out in the right place. And then I find when I'm looking for images, adding the right keywords when you're searching can make things really interesting. Like, for example, adding the word concept or the word abstract. If you're looking for an image to express speed, you can add speed and then the word concept. And then sometimes the images are just a little bit more interesting than what you would get if you just added the word speed. So little tricks like that help. And the other thing is also, I look for an image, but I also recognize that that sometimes that perfect image you have in your head, you're just not going to find it. So I think you have to kind of keep an open mind and look at images and say, well, that's not what I was thinking I wanted, but it might work great, So, but it's like anything else. The more you do it, the better you get and the faster you get.
That's right. So that was, I should probably point out too that that's not average. I don't spend that, but I meant to say it more. If you ever find yourself in that situation, then it's okay that,
Right. Yeah, like it's worth the effort. And the effect that it has is definitely worth the extra time that it may take to find an image that really works. So I agree. Damien said visual content gives you a way to grab someone's attention. It kind of stops them in their tracks. And that's important because with so much content out there, good, strong visuals will help your content to stand out. Next up is Chris Garrett. Chris may not have studied art or design, but he enjoys using images in his work. I can tell that he likes exploring what they can do and how they complement his verbal communication. And I happen to know that Chris uses some unconventional tools for creating images. So I asked Chris to share his favorite free and low-cost tools for putting together visual content.
My free tools that are the ones that I use all the time are probably a little bit unusual. I like Sketch, MindMeister, and Apple Keynote, and I think the latter is probably the strangest one. Sketch is great for screen capture, but it's also really good for resizing and adding captions and arrows. I know you can do a lot of that stuff in Canva, but I do like it on my desktop. I like it available for a keyboard shortcut, and I use it all day, every day. Big tip is right now I use the old version, which is 1.012, because they created a new version and actually removed some features. So I like the old features. I'm sure they'll reintroduce them, but they do have a download of the old version if you look for it. MindMeister is for using mind maps, and they're a really good bonus material as well as being a planning tool. And MindMeister I use because it's collaborative and you can export as various different formats. And Apple Keynote, which is the one I said was a bit strange, it's free to Mac owners and you can do all kinds of visuals in that. You can even manipulate your images to an extent, like remove the background automatically, which can come in handy. But you can also export as a PDF or an image, so I like that aspect of it as well.
It's very easy, too. I mean, it's different than a lot of the other image manipulation programs, but once you get a handle on Keynote, it's amazing what you can do. So I love that. These are not the recommendations I expected, but they're great. Thank you.
The really cool thing about Keynote is you can actually do almost vector drawings like you were doing in Illustrator. You can actually edit the lines. And so if you want to get really nerdy and do a really detailed illustration, you can even do that in Keynote, which may not be advisable, but it's free for Mac owners. So.
Who cares how you put the image together? Chris's unconventional image creation tools serve as a good reminder. Use the tool that you are most comfortable with to create images. It doesn't have to be fancy, and it certainly doesn't need to be costly. To wrap things up today, we have Lauren Mankey. Lauren is a top-notch designer who's the force behind all the beautiful podcast cover art that you see on Rainmaker FM. She's also the lead designer at Studio Press and is responsible for some of the most beautiful themes that we sell. I asked Lauren to share what non-designers should keep in mind when putting together visual graphics like social media images and infographics.
I would say the first thing to keep in mind is that your content should drive the design. The number one goal of any graphic design is to present information. So you're more likely to end up with a graphic that's effective, drives traffic, and reinforces your message when you've designed it after the content has been written. Your graphic needs to be unique enough to attract attention on a crowded social network and spark curiosity, but at the same time, convey the message of the post to the reader. And you want to make sure all of the elements in your design have a function that supports that message. Leave them out if it doesn't. I mean, good designs should never overwhelm or confuse a user with unneeded information. You want to keep it simple, and you want to also make use of white space. Like, a lot of designers know the importance of white space, but someone who's just starting out might not. It's imperative. I mean, you need to have white space around all of your text, images, lines. You need to include it with, you know, between your elements and the edge of the graphic. It really helps with readability and ultimately the ease in which your message gets to the reader. And it doesn't always mean, you know, going for a minimalist look. It just means understanding your components and how they relate to each other and really the successfulness of the overall graphic.
So you shouldn't say, I need to cram as much information as I can into this space.
Right. And you also want to keep in mind your typography choices and using visual hierarchy to highlight those. You know, less is more when it comes to typefaces. A couple or even just one in a family of complementary fonts can be far more impactful and effective than a jumble of varying styles. If you use too many fonts, you run the risk of looking cluttered and lacking a clear message, which is really the point. So and you also don't ever want to stretch out your font. I mean, if it needs to fill the space vertically or horizontally, look for a taller, thinner typeface or, you know, a more horizontal typeface.
And I know visual hierarchy is how we present information in a way so that people understand what's most important and then what's the next most important thing, what's the least most important thing on the page so that they can make their way through the information. And we're doing that through the way we apply color and size and the way we position things on the page or on the graphic, right?
Yes, and you want to pay attention to details like that, because design is in the details. Even if your design is simple and you're using a minimalist approach, that just means your design probably has more white space and more space for flaws to become apparent. So you should always use a grid and guidelines to make sure all of your elements are lined up and spaced evenly. You want to be aware of how each element relates to each other. So even when you do break the rules and you break the grid and allow elements to go across two columns, do it purposefully so that it's clear that it's a conscious choice. And if it's too subtle, it may just look off.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I think that's a mistake a lot of people make. It's like you have to make your decision with gusto and show that you really mean to break the grid.
Yeah, exactly. And you also want to keep in mind cross-platform, because whether you have a mobile-first or desktop-first workflow and you want to work with them both in tandem, because it's important that your designs work across all platforms and networks in a unified way so that the design doesn't feel disjointed on one platform or another. I think the last thing to keep in mind is that, you know, practice makes perfect. If you just continue to attempt things, and the more you do it, the more you discover what works and what doesn't work.
I heard a common theme between what Damian, Chris, and Lauren shared. What I heard was that you don't need to be a trained artist to use images. And the more you do it, the easier it will get, and the more fun you'll have, because you're just going to get better at it. The trick is to get started. And here's the thing. I know it's really tough to step out of your comfort zone and try something that you've never done before. But the reality is, even though your first images may not look that great, and you may not love the end result, it's just like anything else in life. The more you do them, the more comfortable you'll feel. And the images that you create will get better over time. Here are my questions for you. Will you take just a few minutes this week to explore some of the tools that I shared? Find the one you like the best. Bookmark it and make a browser shortcut for it so you have an easy way to get back to the site. Visit it frequently, explore the tools and experiment, and have some fun. Start creating images that communicate and inspire to pair with your content. I can't wait to see what you do. Feel free to drop into the comments on Hit Publish FM and leave me a link to an image you've created. This is Pamela Wilson. I want to thank you for being one of the most captivating of podcast listeners, a Hit Publish subscriber. Help your friends and even help complete strangers to find Hit Publish. To do that, just head over to iTunes and leave a rating and a review. That's going to help boost this podcast's rankings, and it will make it show up when people search for the topics that we cover here. Bye until next time, and remember, take action and hit publish.